usually a person that has very good self-image, that has lived in a very fine home with parents that are very well, has very great wisdom, that are not damaged in some way. So you say, well, we don't see it. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the fact that the damaged emotions, like the bruising of the apple, is in our person, and it may just be small, and it may just show up, but it's internal. It's our emotions, and it's an internal thing. And so we don't even realize many times that that thing begins to grow, and it becomes deep within us. And there are some things that happen to us because of it. And as it grows in us, it hurts our personalities many times, because our personalities are pretty well formed from the time we are born until 7 years old. That's why when you go to counselors and psychiatrists, they always want to go back to the very beginnings of your life. Because those are the years you are you're vulnerable. When people do things to you, you can't really get back at them. You can't really stand up for yourself. And many times people do and say things that hurt your person. And it becomes a real problem to you that you're not even aware of many times. It is when we have a blow to our personal identity, to us as a person. You may say to your child, you know, don't do that, it's wrong, and I want you to work on this, and give them a good little speech and things, and it probably won't bother them. But there are some children, when we go to them and say, listen, don't you know anything? You're really stupid. You really don't know anything. That's when you're hitting there as a person. You're not hitting the problem. You're not hitting what they've done. You're hitting at them as a person. And because of that, it bruises the personal identity of the person. So we have some symptoms, great symptoms, and we carry these symptoms with us many times for the rest of our life until we recognize it and able to overcome it by God's help. Today they call it baggage, that many of us have baggage that we're carrying. And these are really those things that have personally hurt us deeply in parts in the seasons of our life, but mostly in our youth. Now, what we have done and what is the pattern is that we build walls in us. We call them walls of defense. In counseling they call it, in psychology they call it defense mechanisms. Now, defense mechanisms is the fact that as we grow and mature, these things are deep in us, and sometimes we almost forget them. We're not even fully aware of what it is, but it's there. And it affects us in our personality, and it becomes to us a problem that we're not even aware of sometimes. Lots of times we like to say, well, that's just me. But it's not just you. It's because there was a bruise, because there was a hurt. And let me just give you an illustration. There was a young man that I worked with about 2-3 years ago. I was in the church, and I had preached, and afterwards he came, several of them came, but he came and sat down with me. Now, this young man must have been in his late 20s, maybe early 30s. Very nice boy. I could tell he was a Christian. He was a big help in the church. But as he talked to me, he began to cry. Now, it's not often you see 30-year-old men crying. And although I've seen it quite often in China, more in China than I have in America. And, you know, as he cried, and I asked him, I said, I want you to come over to the apartment where I'm staying. I haven't time today, but I think I need to talk to you. He came over. And Andrew began to talk to me. He said, I am so fearful. He said, I don't know how. He said, I've got a job now that isn't anything to do with what I really want to do. He said, but I'm afraid to get into the to look for a job that's what I like. And I said, we got to talking, and I said, well, Andrew, how's your friends? Do you have girlfriends? Oh, no, I don't have any girlfriends. There was a fear in Andrew. And it seemed like Andrew felt that he just couldn't do anything right. He just couldn't do it. So we began to talk, and I, of course, like most counselors, you go back to mom and daddy, because there's always situations, maybe there, grandma, someone. And he said, no, mom and dad's been very supportive of me. He said, when I was getting ready to go into high school, I had a nervous breakdown. And mom and dad, they supported me and helped me through that. He said, no, they've been very supportive. And I thought, now where do I go? And so I said to him, Andrew, is there anybody that you don't like, that you hate? He stopped a minute. Then he looked at me and he said, yes. I said, who is it? He said, it was my teacher in junior high. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, I was slower. I grasped, I was sort of slow, and I don't think mentally, but just in ability to be able to give out his communication and so. And he said, one time we were having a project, and so I worked very, very hard on that project. He said, I took it to this teacher, and she looked at me and looked at the project. She looked at me, and she said, you didn't do that. He said, but I did do it. I worked hard. No, she said, you couldn't do it. You don't have the ability to do it. And she really gave him an address to his own person. You're not able. You're not capable. The boy, after that, had a sort of a nervous breakdown. And that thing had followed him the rest of his life. Until Andrew, when I met him, felt like he was not capable to do the job he was trained for. Not capable to have girlfriends. And I said to him, I said, Andrew, this is where your problem is. And we began to talk about it. And I said, do you ever think of her? He said to me, every time I try to do something, she comes before me. Now you see, actually this is what happens. He didn't recognize it was her. He knew that there was a problem. He knew that there was something in him, and he was trying to build his defense mechanisms, but he couldn't seem to do it, even to build the defense mechanisms, because this thing was so very real to him. We talked together, talked to him, we talked, trusting the Lord, you know. And the next year I went back. He had gotten a job in his field, and he had a girlfriend. And this year he's married. I hope he doesn't blame that on me. But anyhow, I thank God for how we can overcome these things in our life that we're not fully aware of why we act and how we react. So let's look at a little bit, because today I want to take critical spirit. Oh, there's many defense mechanisms. But I wanted to take critical spirit and talk about this. This is within our personalities, within us, we tend to find fault with someone or something, or with people and things in general. We like to pick and find fault. This isn't right, that isn't right, this person. And lots of times we when they get up, we think about it, we say, well, they're not capable, they're not able. We're very critical. And this critical becomes an aggressive thing in us sometimes, where it threatens our attitude, how we are to people. We could hardly hold a conversation that something critical doesn't come out of it. Our behavior, we just don't, you know, nobody can do it good. After all, we go on with this kind of a spirit. So we have to recognize then that this wall of criticism is one that we put up because we have a hurt deep in us. I know criticism can also come from a home where all they hear is criticism. Now that is a taught. That is a taught behavior. But what I'm talking about now is a behavior that comes from the emotions that's been damaged. It's sort of like somewhere along the line, we felt rejected. Somebody hurt us. Somebody hit us. So now We have to put a wall up so we're not going to get hurt anymore. They're not going to hit me anymore. Nobody's going to make me feel that anymore. So what do? Our anger is triggered. Our fear is, it comes, stress is built up, self-control is lost. These are the things that can come because of our damaged emotion. Somebody rejects you. Excuse me, flowers are not my best thing here. Can reject you, and then we see that right away you're going to build up a defense mechanism. You rejected as a child. You were rejected at your work. You were rejected in high school, and it hurt. And so now as we've built up our defense mechanism, we see that we have turned to the part that's really more critical. And that becomes our defense mechanism. Now, this isn't everybody. I'm talking to you. There are many, many different defense mechanisms. I'm going to take a few of them for the next quarter, and we're going to talk about someone may have this problem. And as I talk, be fair to yourself. You need to understand, if you're like this, why you... Thank you so much. So as we follow this then, we shift. What we're doing now is we're shifting personal blame to others. I have been said I'm not worth anything. I have been rejected. I have been hurt this way. So in my defense mechanism, in my wall that I'm building up, I become to the place, I don't realize it, but it becomes, I begin to shift blame on other people. People said, I'm not worth anything. Well, they're not worth anything. And we begin to shift that blame on them as if they have hurt us. There are many marriages, believe it or not, where a husband is very, 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 I won't say exactly cruel, but makes the wife very unhappy. And actually, when we find out, it isn't her that he has something against. Many times, it's his mother. You see, when mother has hurt me, when mother has rejected me, when mother has put me down, I cannot do anything against my mother. I'm supposed to love my mother. And so we build up this defense mechanism covering over these feelings, you see. And then when we get married, then you put that on the person you marry. They don't deserve it. But this is how you make your defense mechanisms. And that's why it's easy to blame others. You camouflage your personal discomfort. In other words, you may cover it with a smile. But it's there. You may rebel against authority. That may be another way that you will show it. You may become a sarcastic person. That's what I did. I became a sarcastic person. I could really put the knife in and turn it very quickly and hurt someone deeply. And I recognize that after a while. Sometimes you elevate yourself up by putting others down. These are the defense mechanisms. So let us recognize then that this is where we are. Now let's go over to our, I don't want to give you that yet. Let's go over to our notes. We're on our notes now. Now this is what we want to do. We want to make a checklist of this. And these are the ones that I've been talking about. Now you may say criticism is my defense mechanism. There is a reason why I do this is because I've been hurt and I've been rejected. So now I want to give you a little checklist, these things that I've been talking about. I want you to see that the checklist is on your paper. The following checklist will help you to understand, help you to see, is this why I do this? Is this why I'm that way? They tell me I'm like that. I don't agree with them, but they tell me I'm like that, or I know I'm like that, but I can't help myself. And let's look at it. Secretly believing that you're better than others. When you have that feeling in you deeply, I'm better than others. You're not better than others. But somewhere along the line, someone has hurt you and rejected you and made you feel like you weren't, so you built your defense mechanism. And believe it or not, it's opposite of what people have told you. You have built up your own self-image. Making assumptions about others without even knowing the facts. That's part of criticism. When we just believe it. We don't even know the facts, but we look at somebody and we say, you know, I don't believe they're very good at that job. I think probably they should not be rewarded, but they should be put down. So inside of us, we are making the judgments and assuming that others, and we don't know the fact that maybe that person, the reason why they are not as good is because they have troubles at home, or they're having physical troubles, or they're having financial troubles, and this causes them not to be able to process and not be able to do it. But those who have this feeling, they look down on them, not knowing the facts, but criticizing them. So we see then that, sorry, the other one came in too. Let's go on. Then there's within us, we like to get revenge. Revenge for a personal offense. We want to get back. It may not we get back at the person that did it, but this is what criticism is. We're constantly getting back. Then there's that one that kids teases, but they really mean it. They intend to hurt a person. I used to do that a lot too. I recognize that. You sort of kid them, but you really mean what you're saying. The others around sort of laugh. They understand that, and it hurts the person. That's part of the cover-up, the great cover-up that we have. Envying the success of others. This becomes, and so we are very critical about the success of others. He doesn't deserve that. He's not that good. I wonder why they picked him. So we become envious many times of others. Like I said, we shuffle the personal blame to others. We tell them, you know, that they're the ones. They're the ones. As we look at this, and I see myself that when I got this down, I put it twice. But anyhow, these are some of the things that is the reason why we may be a critical person. How we react in that criticism. So here we are now, we're a child. someone has really hurt our person. Someone has told me I'm not worthwhile. Or as I look around, I see my older brother get everything, and I don't get much. And they put me down instead of lifting me up. So inside of my little life, I close that in. But it's going to come out. And that feeling, that hurt, is going to come out. And so then I see myself building, I don't even know it, but I've built a defense mechanism. And my defense mechanism is critical. I just am critical about many things that goes on. Like I said here, you feel yourself better? I don't care about them, or they don't deserve that, or they're no good, you know. I know them, they're no good. And we constantly, in the home, critical. You don't do this, you should do this, you ought to be this way, you ought to do that. And constantly doing this type of thing, showing us that we are better, that we are the ones that accept it, not them. That we're the ones that sometimes we show ourselves in many different ways, hurting people at this place within ourselves, until many times this becomes to people a no-no. They don't want to bother with you. And then you begin to wonder why it is that some of them pull away. You begin to wonder why you're not being able to get that job, that special job, or get this special opportunity. Because actually your personality that you have is becoming very offensive maybe to some or to many in marriages or work or wherever it is. And it's many times when people do hear it, when somebody said, you're a very critical person, but you look at them and think, me? I'm a critical person? I don't think I'm a critical person. Don't even recognize this thing, but it's there. And when you find this out, this is the time that you must begin to recognize. Whenever we have a bruised emotion, the only way to get over it is to work on it. You can get over it. You can overcome it. You can begin to come to grips with it. When you begin to understand, that's why we have counselors. That's why you have psychiatrists. When they're able to go back and be able to tell you, this is what hurt you. And suddenly you're awakened to it. You realize it. You understand it. And you begin to see. And that's when you begin to say, oh, I need help with this. And this is where God can help us. That's why many times people will just cop out and say, this is just me. This is just my father. This is just the way they were. No, it's really your problem and your baggage. So we have to understand. You see, Jesus gave us a beautiful picture of this. And I do have that. He gave us a beautiful picture of it. He was talking about a man who was critical. And that man, he wanted to get that little tiny speck out of the neighbor's. He was talking about that. He was critical about that little speck in his neighbor's eye. And Jesus said, you're really hard on them. And here you have a beam, a board in your eye. And that's what it is so many times. And Jesus recognized it. So you see that the solution is not to ignore it, not to deny it, but to ask God to help us and get over this thing. Get it out of you. That's why I wish that people begin to understand that counselors are not bad people. Counselors are just trying to help you to see where the problem is and to be able to offer to you some solutions to help you with that problem. So today, if you're a person that is critical, that has a spirit of criticism, you can recognize it's not many that's just because of family. It's because you've been hurt. You've been offended. And this is your defense mechanism that you've done. So actually, this is the type of thing that you have to be aware of and understand, and that these feelings are in you, and be honest with yourself to be able to say, you know, she's right. I'm a critical person. Now, what I want you to understand is that these damaged emotions one emotion, such as not being recognized or being put down, doesn't always come out as criticism. You have other defense mechanisms that you grab hold of. But what I'm telling you today, that this is one of the things that can happen to you when you've been put down, when you've been hurt, when you've been rejected. And this is one of the areas. So if you find yourself being a critical person, now you don't always have to voice your criticism. Lots of times it's just in your mind. You see a person, you're right away criticizing. Anything, we're just criticizing. And so we have to understand that we have to go from a criticizer to an encourager. And this is a journey that God wants to take us through. And this is where I find counseling to be so helpful to me when I'm trying to teach my Chinese in China how to live a good Christian life. Because sometimes they come up against these baggages they hold. And they, when they find this out, they can recognize that God can help them, and they don't want to be like this. They don't want that in their life. They want to be a different person. They don't want to carry this. And I believe that when we find this out, we can be helped. So we do want to become one that is an encourager. So you need to look deep in your inside. Am I, because of my problem, become a critical person, hurtful person, a person that's really not so happy to live with? Many times women are. They criticize from the time a husband gets in until he goes to bed. Lots of times the husbands don't even want to come home because, and the Bible speaks about it. He said it's better, you know, it's better to, what is it? He talked about it's better to do something than have a woman. Oh, yes. It's better for a critical, when you have a critical woman. Please forgive me. My mind is very tired. I'm still in jet lag, I think. The critical woman, to have a critical woman in the house is like having a drop of water. One after another. Now, when we had people in, when they used to take them into concentration camps, that was one of their tortures. They would get a drop of water and keep all the time that water hitting. And the Bible speaks of that. And that's what criticism is. It's something that is very detrimental to your relationships with other people. So don't just say, deny you have it, if you do. Don't just cover it over, but seek the Lord, seek what you can do, how God can help you with these things. And so, as we see, I want to go back to the camp. Next week, we're going to talk about how we can change our critical spirit to a encouraging spirit. How we can take that thing that has hurt us, that thing that has caused us for some years to really have a baggage that's been heavy, that we have not, that our marriage, to our children, to our work people, it just seems like we're known to be the one that criticizes. And we don't carry any weight, the weight that we would love to have, to be able to people to listen to us and accept us and to look to us. So next week as we come back, we're going to try to see how we can turn that critical spirit to our encouraging spirit. So please forgive me today. My head is very tired. My words have been tripping over each other. But this is sincerely, this is something that as we talk about for the next few weeks that is so helpful. I went through a lot of this. I didn't have a broken home, but I had a mother who was very Welsh, very English. She was very strict. She was very busy. My father never hardly talked. He was a kind man, but he just hardly ever talked. And in some ways, I really grew apart from them. And I had to go through a lot of these different things to overcome some of the hurts that I had in my life. And so I understand them, but I have thanked God for everyone that he's able to help me to see and to able to help me to ask God to help me, and how even in myself I constantly keep a check on things that actually I used to be like. It was easy, like I said, for me to be sarcastic. It was very easy. I could put people down very nicely, like I was teasing, but I could put them down. And God had to show me. And oh, how I thank God. People say, oh, you just are kind to everybody. You just say yes to everybody. Listen, I have learned that I don't want the spirit of criticism and the spirit of anger and hate. So I do love people. God has given me that because he's taken the other things out of my heart. Now, I know in my theological training that God, through the Holy Spirit, can sanctify us, can make us. He does his part. But then he tells us to put off some things, that we have to be accountable for some things to work on ourselves, because he can't talk for us. He puts in our heart, but we're the ones that do the talking. We're the ones that do the acting. We're the ones that have the behavior. And as he blesses us, and as his spirit helps us, but let me tell you, it's something that you and I many times have to work on with God, that he might bring us out a victorious person, one that can be a blessing for him. Critical people cannot be blessings for God. Critical people, actually, I don't think they really are at the place where they have hold of God the way they should or understand. So we have to understand. So in this next quarter, this is what I'm going to be speaking on. Well, now I'm really finished. I thought I would have too much for today, but it wasn't. But next week we'll come back and we'll be talking about how to take this critical spirit, this a damaged emotion, and make it into something beautiful by being an encouraging spirit. We're going to be talking about different things, many things. I don't know if I can get back here. Let me see. Some of these we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about anger. We're going to be talking about some other feeling, other ways that we have of having these defense mechanisms. There are just many, many, many of them, really. So we'll be getting into that as we go along. Okay. So thank you so much. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that you will help us. We don't want to be critical. We don't want those things in our past that has hurt us so badly to keep us from being a blessing in the future. We want you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You can go have a cup of coffee, huh?